Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
AfterBuzzers, we're here doing another AfterBuzz TV after show for MTV's Teen Wolf Season 5, Episode 15, Amplification. I'm your host, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape. You can follow AfterBuzz TV at AfterBuzz TV. Joining me, Courtney Tezano.
Hey guys, keep in touch with me at Tezno's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm reading your comments tonight, so use that hashtag ABTVTeenWolf.
Elena Jordan.
Hello, you can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And we also got the live chat going, so chat us up.
And Ryan Mallett.
Hey everybody, it's Ryan Mallett here. You know where to find me. Please check us out, yes, in the live chat, AfterBuzz, YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV. On the YouTube channel, give us a thumbs up if you like what you see. And tonight I feel like you might, because we have a special guest here with us tonight. Kristen, why don't you introduce our special guest?
Yes, she plays Meredith. Please welcome Maya Eshet.
Or Maya Eshet, as the people from Israel would call you. Isn't that where you're from?
Wonderful.
Eshet,
yes.
Eshet, from Israel. Mm-hmm. When did you come here to America?
I came here, 7 years ago, I think?
7 years ago.
That's when I came to LA.
So you've been in LA longer than all of us, probably, right?
I don't know, 3 years?
Yeah, that's longer than me.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Yes.
And if you guys want to call in and ask Maya a question, please call us at 424-253-0749. Again, if you didn't have a pen that time, it's 424-253-0749. I listen to radio shows and they're always like, call now, win $1,000. Here's the number.
You're the person that calls.
Well, I do. If they say it twice. Hey, I've been in the top 20, you know, so I'm getting there.
Yeah, that's pretty close. I wanted to call many times, but I'm always driving, and it's like,
Yeah. Before we get into this episode, I'm going to read a couple of these comments, because someone was kind of spot on from last week. So someone said that Lydia is going to be the maid of Beacon Hills, and we all kind of were like, aha,
Maid of the Gévaudan.
Yeah.
I agree.
You love it. Yeah. You say it right. Someone else said that you should only say the word because the rest of us
should say la bise.
It's such a fun word to say, Gévaudan. I'm not even French, but it makes me feel French. I love it.
Look at you.
Well, I would agree with, what was her name? Kendra. Because after we've seen Meredith's character train Lydia, now she can focus that scream, and everyone wants her to be part of their pack now. Theo's after her, Scott's coming back for her, so it seems like, you know, they think that she is the answer to fighting La Beast.
She does have a secret weapon that she's been learning how to harness in her own dreams, where Meredith, your character, has been training her.
Yes.
And you know firsthand what it's like to have a voice like that.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly,
here we go. No.
I was going to say, you
got to scream for us when this is over.
You were terrifying in the show. Well, very lovely in person, I gotta say. Still kind of intimidating because you are really cute. But what was it like being just played up as just like a horrifying, terrifying creature?
I love it. You know, because it's so far away from reality and it gives you so much freedom to kind of just do whatever you want and go really big. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I really enjoy it.
Did you practice your screams?
Yes, that's what I want to know.
No. And actually, with today's technology, we could be amplified and changed and stuff like that. So we don't have to ruin our voice.
amplification?
Oh. Yeah, full circle. I love it.
That's awesome.
So you're basically saying that the IMT Pain app...
Stop it. I don't know what that means, but sure.
No, no, is that so 2000 and late? I'm sorry.
I used the Drake keyboard personally. But yeah.
T-Pain has been upgraded to Drake now.
Pretty much. Exactly. Auto-tune life. Okay, we're going completely
back to our shout-outs.
Another shout-out from this week was from Naruto. I really butchered that. I'm sorry. I think Scott and Liam will fight Deucalion. Now, we didn't see him fight Deucalion, but we did see them fight today, so I was loving that.
I loved the whole episode.
Or actually, he got beat down. Liam.
Yeah, well.
I have something exciting to mention. Gideon Emery, who plays Deucalion, will be joining us for episode 9.
Yay!
19. Episode 19.
19. Yeah,
well,
you just keep reeling them in.
Oh, and Lyndon and Susan will be with us next week. So stay tuned.
All right.
Okay. One more shout out. We have James Jordan, who tweeted us a few million times on Twitter, which we love.
We love you.
He wanted to talk about Beast Mode and how that really brought the pack together this episode.
Hashtag Beast Mode.
Help us get into the episode. I thought, for me, guys, that was the best part of the episode when Scott roars and you see
Alpha Roy.
All of his pack's eyes light up. I felt the pack reunited. Yeah. I felt like we were the go team again, and I was excited to fight off these enemies. And I felt like they finally can, because even Scott has sort of been weak this season, and so seeing him turn into the true alpha and assemble his pack, like, I was like, yes, I'm ready now, let's go.
It's about time.
I do have to say, I thought it was hilarious that there were 4 security guards on Scott and 1 on Liam. I was like, oh, come on, Liam, like... Scott's fighting out 4 of these guys right now.
Hey, Zach, do we still have that caller coming in?
No, they dropped out.
Oh, man.
Sorry, guys. I totally missed that. That was my fault. But the number, again, is 424-253-0749.
Send your hate mail to @CinematicEscape.
Don't do that.
I gotta say that I really did love the episode from beginning to end, just because of the momentum it had. They started off kind of like a Ocean's 11, you know, type, like, infiltration plan to get into Eichen House. And they just kept the momentum throughout. It was an awesome episode. And we do have a
the
caller.
The Eichen 11.
Yes, let's take that caller.
Ah, Eichen 11. Yeah.
Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, guys. My name is Johan. What's going on, guys?
Hey! Johan!
We love Johan.
Yes.
He gives us Twitter love. Johan, did you have a question for Maya?
I actually had a question for everybody.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. What do you... What... The relationship between Lydia and...
Styles?
Styles or Meredith?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Okay.
What do you think? Maybe sometime down the road, Lydia might start controlling the pack. Maybe. I mean, I don't. That could be a possibility.
Now, interesting word choice. You say controlling the pack. I think every season you have a new character kind of shining through. I think Lydia is going to be one of those characters this season that really is crucial for the pack's success. And she will take control of the situation. As far as the control of the pack, I think that's still going to end up in Scott's hands. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen crazier things happen before, so...
True.
Yeah.
And she does have a hole in her head right now, doesn't she?
She does.
Anything can happen.
Oh my gosh, that preview. So,
it's going to be interesting to see, and we'll see what happens.
Yes, we will.
Yep.
Yes.
I am super excited, and, you know, Lydia could take control at least of this season, thanks to Meredith, showing her the badass street moves
that
she did.
Well, in a way, she did bring the pack together.
Mm-hmm.
They all
had
to come together to save her without her even really interfering. They just her situation brought them together. So, in a way, she did take control.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Very good.
Great question, Johan. Thanks so
much
for calling in.
Thanks, Johan.
No problem, guys. Have a great night.
You too.
We'll see you out there on the interwebs.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and get into the episode. Yes. So, the Beast, we start out, and Styles and Scott are chasing him down. Styles gets on the radio. I thought that was
that was my favorite part.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, I love that part. He's just taking over.
I wrote down the Beast is loose because that's how I felt when this episode opened up. I mean, come on. Everyone was on this high-speed chase to get this Beast. They don't even know what it is.
Didn't it look kind of like the Cheshire Cat if it was, like, on steroids and would, like, destroy your soul?
Pop culture reference.
I mean, right!
Yeah, we all know the truth.
Yeah, we can relate to that one.
We did see, though, so Parrish got knocked down the hall.
Yes.
Right? And then we've seen him follow these footprints, these bloody footprints.
The claws.
The claws of the Beast that end up turning into human footprints.
But they turn into shoe prints. That's what I was like,
that was interesting.
So
yeah,
the shoes go the back shoes on his feet when he changes back?
Apparently, they do.
See,
I mean, that's convenient.
If it were me,
you don't want to be buying new shoes every time you change.
True.
I mean, I wouldn't buy new shoes.
That would be how they track them down. They would just see who has an astronomical shoe bill, and then it's mystery solved.
Well, or you just look at the pattern, you know? I mean, there's only so many shoe patterns.
Yeah.
And then you, during class, you're checking under the desk.
I was checking out the shoe pattern, and what was obvious to me was it's like, well, it didn't look like a girl's shoe, because during this episode, Melissa McCall said it could be a she, which I liked because I never actually considered that.
Hey, girls have some big feet. I have big feet, you guys. That could have easily been a girl, a woman.
That's true.
Yeah, and women can be beasts sometimes. Guys, am I right? Am I right, guys?
Calm down, you're outnumbered.
Everyone can be beasts.
Hey, big shout out to Zach in the engineering room for the backup there. Thank you.
Wait, so does this actually mean that they've already fought? Parrish and the Beast have fought or have seen each other face to face? Is that what we're getting?
They had a rendezvous.
That's what it looks like.
They went out to lunch. It didn't work out.
Well, isn't it written that they are destined to end up fighting each other? They're somewhat primally drawn to fighting each other.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to prevent that because Parrish now knows who he is and the Beast does not know who they are yet.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're probably like besties and
oh, I hope not.
So whoever the Beast is doesn't know that they're the Beast.
Yeah. Right.
Which means they're blacking out. They're going off and leaving and doing stuff and coming back and waking up. But there no one that we know of is going through these He's having these symptoms, right?
Well, we've said we thought it could be Mason. Again, he wasn't there this episode, so
we've had some predictions in our comments that said it could be Argent, which because of his French lineage. So I don't know. That was a prediction. And then Theo has never actually been around when the Beast is there as well.
Somebody counteracted us and said that Theo did see the Beast.
Remember when he was confronting the Dread Doctors?
Well, that prediction we're going to cross that out. Yeah.
But Theo said it was a kid too. So that's why
it couldn't be Chris Argent. Yeah. I still think it could also be Brett Talbot, Cody St. New's character,
because
he's still at the school.
Yeah,
or not ruling out Meredith. She went to the school.
Let me see your shoes, Meredith.
What are you wearing, Meredith?
Can we get some paint
in
here?
Yeah,
we need to test these shoe prints.
Beast mode banshee is just a little too terrifying. I think
it could happen.
Yeah. Well, it could. I don't know.
The great thing about having actors here in the studio with us is that we can ask them questions they don't want to answer. Meredith, who do you think the Beast is?
Oh! Every time they just squirm and cringe.
Oh, I have all kinds of ideas.
okay, all right. You can plead the fifth. It's okay. Oh. We know.
Let's talk about Dr. Valak. So, is he helping or is he hurting, guys?
Tough love.
I mean, you would know firsthand, Meredith. Is this man a helper or is he hurting?
Well, now it seems just hurting. Honestly, just a herder.
He's clearly doing something that's causing harm, but he's saying it's for the greater good. He's saying this is going to save possibly you and your friends. Does Dr. Valak know something that we all don't?
Obviously he knows something, but a part of me feels weird that he just had this mask that looks
like the Dread Doctor mask.
Right.
And I feel like he definitely has something to do with them, which makes me feel like he is completely evil.
slapping on the head of an innocent person when they're closing the door,
we had
too.
To make that's
a big red flag.
Yeah, and then all his human experimentation pictures, those were just absolutely gross, which we found out was not you, Meredith, in that one photo.
Yes, with the Banshee. That we never met.
Yeah. Wow. Just gone too soon.
Things are not good for the Banshees. Like, don't go to the hospital. Don't go to the lake house. Like, anywhere you go, it's not going to work out.
What are we doing with the Dread Doctor's mask? Is this going to help us in the future? Or is this going to hurt us?
Man, I don't know what the deal is with the mask. It reminded me of in Aliens. You know, the alien that sucks onto your face.
Yeah, face sucker.
So that means that's... That's
it's
implying
like a face
that
sucker from Saw.
That the actual mask itself is some kind of supernatural thing that causes someone to become a Dread Doctor or something, like Jim Carrey's mask.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the mask?
I feel like we're in the chat. Let us know what they mentioned.
Yeah. They mentioned it on the show, I think, of what's the deal of the masks. It's because they changed something in themselves. I don't remember exactly what. Please don't quote
words.
But they did mention something, that they can't breathe normally anymore, so they have to have it on.
That makes sense, because they've preserved their bodies.
Yeah.
So that makes sense that they need it for breathing, but I'm just thinking Dr. Valak's going to put it on.
I think he's going to put it on. The new mask that he just...
Stephanie Golding in the chat thinks that it's a mask that's an isolation thing, and if Lydia screams in it, she can't harm people.
Ooh. Hmm. That's thank you.
I like
Stephanie.
The training mask idea.
I mean, he is one to experiment,
like
right?
A muzzle.
So maybe he was just seeing what would happen.
So that would mean that he is actually trying to help, but it just looks like it's completely evil.
I feel like people are looking for the goodness in all these evil characters.
The
Theo, no.
Oh, no.
Doctor,
I really
no.
Oh, I'm going to wait until we get to that.
Oh, let's take this call.
Let's see what this caller thinks.
Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Donna, and I'm from Alabama.
Hi, Donna.
Hey, I'm from Alabama. Roll Tide.
Good day, Donna.
What is the deal with this mask? And do you have a question for Maya?
Yes, I do. What are you most excited about for the upcoming season?
The current or
next season?
Or next season 6.
No, for this season.
For this season. What am I most excited about? Well, probably seeing what happens when Lydia gets out.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, I've been so involved with this story, so I'm very curious at kind of like seeing if what I taught her would actually,
seeing how far those street moves gets her.
And what we talked about earlier, like, would she kind of, you know, have a very significant role in the pack now? And she had one before too, but would she become even more powerful? And would she heal completely? Would she be, you know, would it cripple her? I'm very curious about that.
Yes, and I am too. I want to see Lydia kick some butt. In fact, I lost a bet earlier this season. I thought she was going to kick butt earlier than she did. So it's definitely on its way. We're excited.
And he dressed up as a werewolf, and it was awesome. Yeah. Donna from Alabama, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great night, Donna.
Bye.
Good night, Mike.
You too.
Bye. That's not Alabama.
That's from
that.
It's from that.
Okay, all right.
I'm checking off the
Dread
Guy. Start tweeting us.
Okay.
It's close.
Moving.
Yeah.
Thank you, Zach.
Oh, no. I didn't even know that sound existed.
That's too bad for you, Ryan.
It's called the Ryan. He has it on deck. Just ready.
Let's talk about Mama McCall.
I loved her this episode. Mm.
I just want to know why the monsters always go to the hospital and hunt down Mama McCall.
I feel like I do not want to be going to that hospital. If I get hurt anywhere, I'm like, can you just take me somewhere else? I feel like I'm going to be immediately evacuated. Something's going to kill me there. But did you notice that they were sending all of the patients to Hill Valley, which is from Back to the Future? I was like, it's like, boom! Michael J. Fox times two.
I love this, Elena.
All right.
You have a great... this is great.
Michael J. Fox did play Teen Wolf.
Yes, he was the original Teen Wolf.
He was the original Teen
and
Wolf.
He was in Back to the Future, so it's Hill Valley. I loved it.
Fun
I was
fact,
like, I gotcha!
Fun fact, none of this matters.
Wow.
Wait, Elena, I really love that reference.
I don't think you guys should be shipped anymore. I think she's jumping off the ship.
Shipwrecked.
Don't jump off the ship.
Yeah. A lot of the fans have been shipping Ryan and Elena. Which brings me to my next question for you, Maya. Okay. If there was one pair that you ship, could be two friends that are female, two friends that are male, or a couple in the show, who's your favorite ship, the two people that you like them to be? Their relationship on screen. You could even ship Meredith and Lydia. That's become a thing this season.
Yeah. That's true. That would be kind of cool. Yeah. Kind of weird at the same time.
just an option.
Your argument would be terrifying for all the neighbors. Oh, it would just be glass shattering everywhere.
Houses falling down. Yeah. Probably. Maybe it's a little weird. But I kind of want to see Styles and Lydia.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Lydia!
And it kind of feels like maybe something is happening.
Mm-hmm. I've been Team Stydia since season one.
Yeah, they are everything.
Yeah, so I kind of want to see that again. But
you're not alone.
Yeah, okay.
Look at everyone in the chat. Stydia.
Yeah, Stydia.
Yes.
So you're sending Stydia in the Maya S-ship.
Yes.
Excellent.
I like it. Also, I liked when Mama McCall said about, like, you know, the kid being inside the monster. And it seems like a lot of the monsters, there always seems to be a kid who doesn't know what they're doing inside of this evil. You know? I don't know when these monsters were wronged, but I think that's a cool way to kind of look at it, that the person inside this beast is just a kid who doesn't know what they're doing. I think that's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
That's going to suck if everyone's dead after, though.
Yeah, I don't know. That's sweet or even more tragic. All right, you're a nice kid, and oops, accidentally you killed all your buds.
That's
not great.
Well, what do you guys think? Do you guys think that whoever is doing this, like, when they find out this is them, are they going to be in complete shock and, like, be very upset? Are they going to try not to have these blackouts and turn
into
the beast?
Wouldn't you be? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Parrish, every time he wakes up and realizes he's the hellhound, he's just shaken up. So I think he feels guilty, whoever the beast is.
Do you think when the beast is killed, we get the kid back?
No. Mm-hmm. I would think it's like any other where something that if they die, they die.
That's going to be really sad, especially if we don't find out who the kid is until the beast dies.
Oh, and it's like Beauty and the Beast, and they turn back.
They turn back.
Yeah. Oh.
But there was a sweet end to that.
Yeah, that one, but then he got better. I don't know if that's going to work out.
We have that juju goat mojo voodoo juice in the big tubes.
Help me out here.
Okay, I was like, what are you waiting on?
Yeah, okay.
The juju dada, yes.
Yeah.
The juju you do voodoo juice.
Oh my god.
You know what I'm talking about. Don't even give me that.
What I don't know. What is that called?
I don't know what it was.
But you guys know what I mean, so it worked.
I did.
Well, people have been brought back from the dead before. Death sometimes is only the beginning for some characters out there. So whoever it is, you know, the beast will fall. But will the character that the beast is inhabiting
be resurrected? Pet Sematary style? I hope so.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Wait, we say Pet Sematary style because when they're awoke and they still seem like they're off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When they wake up, they're in some sort of weird trance where they're not completely in control. So I'm sure you know a lot about that.
About waking up and not being completely in control?
Yeah. Well, the chimeras.
Your character.
Did you guys go to college together?
Oh, my gosh.
I just mean you've read the scripts. So you probably know if they're in some sort of state that's not the true form, not their true self.
I think it depends. I think it depends who it is and how aware they are. And every character kind of has a different level of awareness. I think some of them, like Parrish, for instance, when he wakes up, he's completely out of it. It's like in this episode, and they're like, "Hey, whoa, Parrish." So he's completely off. On the other hand, when in the first season, when Ska just started, he eventually, you know, very quickly, he started realizing, "Oh, hold on. I did something. Something's happening to me. I know what's going on." So I think it really depends. The Beast, I have a feeling they have no clue. And when they're going to wake up, they're going to be
devastated.
Yeah. Somewhere else. Yeah.
Well, that was kind of mirrors, like, Tracy's story. Tracy, I think, heard quite a few people who's the Chimera now, mm-hmm. and she blacked out and didn't realize and was pretty terrified when...
I think she knows what she's doing now, though.
No, it seems like she does, unfortunately.
Yeah. What did you guys think about this whole plan? I mean, they were in body bags and everything.
It was very elaborate, but I love the way that they set it up, too, where they have, like, the very heist movie, like, step by step. Yep. Here's the flash of, if it goes well, this is what it'll be like. Aren't we badass? And then you're like, but you know all that's gonna go wrong, right?
Of course.
I like that we were part of the plan and learning every step of it, though, because we don't always get to do that. Yeah. And so it was cool. And I like that they were trying to, you know, cheer on Kira, and Malia wasn't as confident. Do you guys like that Kira, Malia... bromance, or I don't know, what would it be if it was a woman? Friendship. Romance?
Friendship.
It's normal for women to be friends, so you don't have to
romance it. Femship.
Friendship.
Friendship.
I kind of like woeship, guys, but
woeship, that's so sad. Yeah.
Alright, fine. Well, do you... Let's just go back to it.
Bromance.
Do you guys... Like Malia.
Taking it, love it.
Kira relationship. What do you think, Courtney?
I can't get over this right now.
I know.
I think Kira and Malia were great together. They were on, like, kind of opposites in some areas, which kind of brings a little bit of a comedy to the whole scene. Mm-hmm. So I really love them together, as opposed to Malia normally seeking out her mom to kill her. So it was a nice change of pace.
I like how we got that little vice versa. Hey, your mom was going to leave you with the skinwalkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like that their relationship is growing. But yes, let's talk about the pack breaking in the Eichen house. And I don't know where we know Nelson from. He's in Eichen house, but he runs around naked.
Wasn't he Malia? Maybe that was Malia's friend that she was saying she knew someone on the inside.
It definitely was.
It seemed like that was a part of the plan.
Of course she would know the naked guy.
Naked guy who runs around.
Who's also smoking hot in the insane asylum.
What I was about to say. And of course the crazy guy is like,
because everybody knows that the Zumba in Eichen house is like on point.
That's his craziness. He just works out excessively, you know?
Yeah.
That's what he does. That's why he was hospitalized.
He has Hasselhoff syndrome. Yep. And it's
funny.
Maybe he's a skinwalker.
No, he's not.
I like that, though.
Yeah.
Skinwalker.
Because he's naked. He's walking around.
All right. Okay. Zach, you missed that one.
Zach, where's my...
Zach, where you at? So Kira, I wasn't sure that Kira was going to be able to cause the brownout because she never had a teacher like Meredith showing her the way.
She just had Malia going, do it better.
Do it better. That didn't help.
I think her pep talk was a really good pep talk, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of brought everything together. I knew that was probably going to work out, but I'm glad that they didn't, like, wrap up this whole save Lydia thing in 5 minutes. So that was one thing I was happy to see.
And I liked it, too. I liked that she didn't really contribute to the support circle that they had because, you know, she's kind of the rational one. It's like, I'm in the electrical room. Like, if she messes this up, I'm screwed. I'm going to get fried here.
Yeah, and I also like that when she did encourage her, it wasn't like, no, you could do it. You were amazing. It's like, listen, this is not about you, okay? Yeah. There's something bigger than you that you have to do right now. It was very real and very grounded, you know, instead of just, like, hyping her up and, oh, yeah, you're amazing.
Yeah.
Okay,
The fakest of the fake.
Yeah.
Malia's so good because she's like, I don't have time for angst. Like, my mom's trying to kill me. Come on, guys. Fuck this up.
One thing about this episode, I don't know how everyone else felt, but it was very much like the season opener, like the premiere. We literally got the season opener and, like, filled in the gaps. Mm-hmm. So I was happy that we finally got to see all of the cast together and
doing their thing. It was great to have, like, a focus, to have something to root for, to have a mission. As a viewer, I like to see things play out.
A very straightforward
This has been a crazy season, you know. Sometimes it's hard to keep up with all those different storylines. This one focused on one. It was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
I like that Scott finally got to hit Liam.
Trying
to kill him. Yeah. That was a great...
Styles is just cheering him on. I wanted Styles to get to hit him,
too. I originally thought he was going to have to save his life, but I'm glad he got to beat him up.
I think that's coming. I think the Liam saving...
I think it'll be both.
He still hasn't apologized.
No,
it's not too late.
Oh, in the chat, they also said that a female friendship is a femship, which I like a lot more than a bromance.
I said
femship.
I totally said femship.
I didn't hear it.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Sorry.
Zero votes for the woe ship. Okay, guys. I'll remember that.
I'm not with
I booked your guest, just so you know that.
Woe ship sounds.
We'll see if woe ship carries on to next week.
It's like
friendship. Let's keep it there. Okay.
Let's talk about Theo. So Theo shows up with his pack. He's like, I don't need a plan. I'm just going to break everything down and throw people and kill people.
I know. I love the parallel between, like, the super articulated, like, half an hour spin on this is our plan versus we're just going to go in there and punch some people and be like, hey, give us this.
Yeah.
I mean, who was more successful? Let's be real.
Yikes.
To the point, I mean...
Without hurting people, though?
Theo isn't even looking for Lydia, though. It seems like it was a decoy just to get
Parrish. Oh, for sure. But, I mean, who got in there?
But is he even gonna, like, go for Lydia, or was that just...
All for Parrish?
It seems like, it was just a couple...
Yeah, I feel like he doesn't even care at this point.
Well, the way he approached... the way Theo approached Scott and Stiles, you know, with that little... World War II reference of how did the Russians beat the Germans? Well, they knew how to fight in the winter. They knew how to hold out. So I think that was an allusion to what he's planning on doing, which is to kind of let, you know, whoever's going to fight each other, destroy each other, and just kind of hold off and wait for his right moment to strike. So he's kind of posturing himself for that. He's not trying to get into the thick of it right away, but wait until he can fight off the aftermath.
See,
something like that?
Yeah. That's what it seemed like to me.
All right.
I mean, that's the only thing, the only time I think he's actually making some smart moves. But I am waiting for him to put those talons on.
I want to know, why did Deucalion tell Hayden the secret
before she let him go?
She let him go. He's like, I'll tell you a secret if you let me go. So maybe that's part one of the secret.
Yeah.
I bet part two is he knows who they're for.
I feel like he's riddled with secrets at this point. And
and who else is tired of him acting like he's blind? We all know he's not blind. Like, come on.
He's like Daredevil. He can hear the world.
Who do you guys think?
He can hear the talons on the jar.
I just love
who do you guys think they're for, the talons?
I don't know.
I know you know. Are they for you? Is that for you?
You know what? I don't know. I really don't know.
She really doesn't know.
Yeah.
She really doesn't. Do we believe her, though?
Oh, they're so suspicious.
Let's bring in Dr. Valak, guys. We need some answers.
So you mentioned that the Dread Doctors made those talons happen for a reason, right? The Dread Doctors are the ones who are trying to put together this creature to, what is it, to defeat the beast and to rule... I mean, we never really got the whole Dread Doctor story, so that's still a piece that's missing. Whatever their project is that they're working on or that they have been working on, I think it's for that. That chimera or that...
The successful
chimera.
Yeah,
That's what I think they're for.
All right, I'll take that answer. Let's talk about Natalie Martin being the legal guardian of Lydia... And finally, Stilinski talks some sense into her.
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I mean, she kind of put her there, but just saying. Sorry. I was kind of upset she put her there. But I'm glad her senses kicked in, but it's kind of too late.
I kind of feel like, why didn't the parents sit down earlier and be like, hey, look, just to let you know, things have been crazy for a while, and have you noticed how the hospital is always crazy? Yeah, me too, I'm there, Scott's mom.
So you're saying like a supernatural parent-teacher conference?
Like
or
we need a WebEx, get a WebEx up in here, go-to meeting. Well, do you guys think that Natalie will acknowledge the supernatural in her daughter being a banshee?
She has to at some point. Come on, she's at Eichen House, and they're probably going to bust out of that lockdown eventually.
Yeah, when she sees her daughter with a hole in her head that matches all these pictures that were just given to her, I think she'll be like, yeah, all right, you guys are probably right.
Well, she obviously knows about the supernatural because she says, I know how to survive in Beacon Hill. So there's a past there. We still haven't gotten the whole banshee story about, like, the lake house, so... Mm-hmm. I'm hoping all that will.
So come she's full pretty circle. Much saying she's good at ignoring things around her and just surviving. Oh gosh.
I think the parents are this season especially playing a bigger and bigger role you know, becoming more a part of the team, the supernatural team, with whatever the help they can give. Like Stilinski was on point with, well, you know, there's nothing we can do legally about this. You know, so like he's, you know, him and the moms and dads of the group are coming in to be kind of like the pack supporters.
Yeah,
like the pack, like
they're anchors.
Oh, I loved Melissa this episode though. Yes. When she's talking to Liam, she's giving him the body bags, and she's like, "If you try to kill my son again, I'll put you in one of these myself."
Best
like,
quote,
get it,
mom. Best quote,
mom support,
mama wolf.
Well, I would now like to get into an AfterBuzz exclusive.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
Interview with Maya Eshet.
All right.
Yay.
I thought we were doing that already.
Let's get ready for you.
We were talking about Teen Wolf. Now we're talking about you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What were your early influences on acting, and how do they manifest in your work today?
My early influence. Well, talking about parents, it was my parents. Both my parents are in the world of theater. My mom is a theater actress and now also a teacher. And my dad is a theater producer and director.
Wow. So it's in your blood.
Yeah, it's in my blood. Like, you can be born a werewolf, could you? I don't know.
Sure.
I was just born this, I guess. So yeah, they were the earliest influences that I had. I just they were kind of like my role models as a child. Yeah, and I'm very close to my parents, and I was introduced to this world very early on, and I loved it, and I enjoyed doing it, and I, you know, I just wanted to do it for the rest of my life. So
That's cute. I like your stories like that. You know, earlier we were, before the show started, we were kind of joking around with the Teen Wolf of Wall Street. And we find out that's what Matthew McConaughey does to prepare himself for scenes, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything that you do to prepare yourself for your scenes?
It really depends on the scene and, you know, the style of the show or what's happening in the scene. I do sometimes I do some, like, face warm-ups.
Oh, can you show us?
Yeah. They're really ugly.
Yeah, okay.
I could. It's like I do some tongue exercises. So you do stuff like...
We'll do them with the...
Oh,
God, my tongue can have, like, drool over
me. My tongue can't even go that long.
So that and, like...
I can't do that.
What else? I don't know. Like, this thing with my lips where you go around a circle.
I'm doing them
with
you.
Now, what does
this do? It just warms up your mouth, basically, and strengthens the muscle. Now I can't even speak anymore.
Now's the time for screenshots.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it just warms up your mouth, so it'd be easier to talk.
Let's do the tongue one.
I can't do that.
Yeah, well,
you got it.
There's one like that you have to lift the side muscles of the tongue, so it's like this.
Oh, I can't do that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I can't do that. How do you do that?
She's a banshee.
You're just as bad as me over here with
I feel like I'm just picking my nose with my tongue. It's not.
Yeah,
am I an actor?
Am I
yet?
Doing it?
Well, it's amazing.
Yeah,
so yeah, sometimes I do stuff like that. Obviously, memorize your lines.
How do you memorize lines? Because like when I was studying for tests, I just have to like keep repeating it, keep seeing it, keep looking at it. Is there any trick?
Keep repeating it. Keep looking at it. Sometimes I record them and then I listen to them. Or I just read them a billion times, say them out loud a billion times, try to say them differently. It's just that. It's really just repetition.
And then what are some challenges you feel you've overcome as an actress? I mean, there's a lot of people out there that would love to be in your shoes one day. Is there any advice you have for them?
That's a very good question.
Oh, thank you.
Things I've overcome. Well, I used to try to direct myself a lot. That was one of the things they told me in acting school. They told me, stop directing. Stop it. Just don't. And they even told me, like, because I like to be a good student. And they're like, don't do your homework. Don't prepare your character. Just as an exercise, they did it with me. And I was like, what do you mean? Just come and just do your scene, you know? And I was like, but what do you mean? I have such an idea of how the scene should go. And it really taught me to stop trying to look at it from the outside and say, this is what it should be. And instead, I just understand the character and where she comes from and then just experience the scene, knowing what's happening in the scene, but not trying to control what it would look like from the outside, basically.
Wow. Sure. So getting out of your head.
Yeah, pretty much.
The unconscious actor.
And into Lydia's head.
Yeah, I think I succeeded.
We talked about the unconscious writer and the unconscious actor. So I feel like that goes into what you're saying as well.
I like that.
We always like to ask, not always, but one of our favorite questions is there like a dream role of yours that you've always pictured yourself or fascinated, you know, fantasized about?
I actually was going to ask that. There are some people in the chat who are saying that they would love to see you on something like Vampire Diaries or The Originals.
Ooh. I just auditioned for a witch the other day.
Ooh.
So that could happen. But really, I fell in love with acting because I could be anyone, and I always liked the challenge of, like, getting a character and bringing them to life and just doing someone that's different than me. That always would excited me, instead of bringing it like, oh, how are they like me? What I usually do is like, oh, I'm going to try to be like them, like what I imagine them to be. And that's what excited me. So it didn't really matter, you know, who they were, or as long as there's someone else and they're different than me, they talk different, they look different, their life is different. I just want to do that. It doesn't really matter who it is or where they are and what world they're a part of. Yeah.
So your dream role is anyone but you.
Oh my god, that's so sad. No. I like being me.
Ryan is silly.
No, you're a very, very sweet, nice person. It makes sense that you're attracted to playing like these scary, you know, like.
Yeah, but crazy not even. People. It could be like a ditzy, you know, like, like anything. Yeah, anything that's just. Just trying to get into a different mindset and a different physicality is always exciting for me.
No, I want to know. You were pretty darn scary when you came out of that tub as a banshee. I want to know what your family and your significant others think when they see you doing these scary roles and they know you're so sweet.
Oh, they love it. Yeah, they love it. Yeah, I mean, they just like, wow, this looks so awesome. This is so cool. Someone told me, like, I didn't know you could move like that. Did you move like that? I'm like, yeah, that was me. I did that on the floor.
Wow. I hear your sister's a fan of Teen Wolf, too.
Yes, she is.
Even before you were on the show. So.
Yes. That was really nice.
That must be exciting for your family.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just want to say I felt so proud, you know. First, I felt really proud to be on the show. Aww. And then, second, that it means something to someone that's very close to me. It's like, yeah.
Definitely. Do they play the show in Israel?
Yeah, they do.
Nice. Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
For our last question, I want to know, what question do you get asked the most?
Come on.
What if it's that question?
It's what question?
Yeah, it's that. No. I don't know. People don't really ask me a lot of questions.
I don't know.
Well, a lot of people ask about my hair. Mm. A lot of people. Like, what ethnicity are you? Or, like, how come you have an afro?
What?
Yeah, a lot of people ask that. Like, how come you have an afro? Some
but
people,
why?
Yeah, like, well, my mom has it. I got it from her.
It's called genetics.
Yes. But a lot of people ask that. Huh. Like, what about my hair? How did I make it like that, or was I born like that, or my ethnicity, and yeah, a lot of people are interested.
Well, you wear it very well.
Thank you.
You wear your genetics well.
I always want to do this, though, like, with my hair. Yeah. I can't.
Tell me about it.
Anyway, just do the Miley, you know, and just, like, nothing.
Yeah.
It works.
Can't do it
do
either.
The tongue exercise at the same time, and you're super Miley.
Oh, just, God.
Yeah.
I miss it. I hope they got that. I missed it. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here with us to break down the episode. It was so great getting to know you. And now we're going to roll into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Ooh.
And this is when you spoil everything for us.
Yes.
Okay. So the show is going to end with Scott. No, I really don't know.
So Scott's involved at the ending.
What if you're writing the end? You can just just write whatever. Obviously, it's not going to be
It's going to be so cheesy if I wrote the end, I feel like. Like, everyone's just, like, maturing and coming together and, you know, all love affairs are fulfilled and they all...
Stidia!
They killed all the bad guys.
I like it. I'm going with your prediction.
I like it. It's not quite a prediction, but if I wrote it...
That's what I think we all want, Stidia, so let's
prediction.
Put all of our power
Stidia.
Into Stidia.
Stidia on three. Stidia!
All right, guys. Excellent. Thanks so much for joining us. Again, you can follow me at Cinematic Escape.
Follow me at Ted Knows on Twitter, Instagram, all social media. You can follow me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, A-L-A-N-A-J-O-R-D-A-N, and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
That Elena Jordan Girl. I'm this Ryan Malaty guy. You guys can find me at Ryan Malaty, M-A-L-A-T-Y, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and you can find our special guest
at... You can tell by my Twitter.
Because she doesn't use it, but I looked it up.
I'm awful at social media. Sorry, guys.
It's at @MayaEchette_hi.
And I do have an Instagram as well.
And that is just at @MayaEchette.
Yay.
Eschette. There you go.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Download, rate, subscribe, and then have a good night.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.